And not just any game pack. It was Dragon Warrior, otherwise known as Dragon.
Sorry, you cut out there.
Sorry. And it wasn't just any game either. It was Dragon
Warrior. You cut out again.
And it wasn't just any game. It was Dragon
Warrior. I'm sorry. It happened. It's like whenever you say the word dragon, it just freaks out.
Dragon.
Yep. Happened that time too.
Dragon?
Yep.
Why?
I don't know.
What's going on?
I don't know. Say dragon again.
Dragon.
I heard ragon.
Dragon.
No, it's freaking out at dragon.
Why?
One more time.
Dragon?
Okay, that worked.
Okay.
Now's your chance.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, babe.
Busy cleaning my house today.
Oh, yeah. That sounds fun.
Well, I mean, I gotta get things ready for the new baby.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, new baby's coming. Exciting.
I don't know if I have, actually. Oh, dear. By the time this one comes out, baby might be born.
Yeah, so. For all we know, right?
Hard to say. But so, I mean, it's really limited my travel to America. I haven't been able to go back since my first child was one. So I probably won't be able to go again until this child's like one. So that's about 3 years.
Oh, yikes. Yeah, because I remember you visiting 2 years ago. That's right. Or was it 2 years ago or 1 year ago? I thought it was last year. Maybe I'm wrong.
Clips while I was back. Oh well. Anyway, so I got plans to come back next year. There's so many things I've missed in America.
Yeah.
You know, I've missed some of the restaurants we have and being able to fluently speak the language. And I've missed going to a bookstore and like being able to read everything, not just the kids' books, you know.
There's that.
I'm looking forward to going to bookstores again. I'm looking forward to going to Borders.
I got bad news for you.
What?
Borders sort of boarded up.
What?
Yeah, it's gone. People don't read books anymore. That's not entirely true. Like Barnes & Noble's still around.
Okay, that's fine. I'll go to Barnes & Noble.
Yep.
I'm gonna go down there. I'm gonna take a look at pick up a couple books and I'm gonna pick up a few of the magazines I haven't read for a long time. I think this is gonna be like when the Wii U is like really picking up steam by next year, you know.
Sure.
So I'm gonna pick up the newest issue of Nintendo Power and I'm just gonna sit down and
Yeah, exasperated sigh, very appropriately used. I apologize, everyone, but it had to be done.
Noble stopped selling magazines?
No. They still sell magazines, what few there are left. It's just that, well, you see, Nintendo Power finally joined Nestor and Howard and the great big me-verse in the sky. Where am I going with this? It's gone.
Nestor, there's now Nintendo Power Funky Bowling?
No, there's just no Nintendo Power ever gone.
What?
Yeah.
But.
I know, right?
I can't remember when there was no Nintendo Power.
I remember when the first issue came out because I'm that old.
Animation Super Mario Brothers 2 on the cover.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the colors were all weird, but it was amazing.
One of my friends had it. I think I subscribed about a year and a half. I don't know. For a while, I checked it out of the school library, like my elementary school's library. Gosh, what was I? I was 8 years old, maybe? Nine? Probably eight. But Nintendo Power was so popular that like you had to reserve it like a month in advance.
Oh, yeah.
Not any issue. and you were the cool kid if you could get one of the school's Nintendo powers. Oh, totally beat up.
Mm-hmm.
They had, like, the covers taped back on because kids are kids, you know. Oh, man, I remember reading it, like, while I was supposed to be paying attention to math, which probably explains why now I know tons about video games and very little about math. Reading, like, A Boy and His Blob and how awesome it sounded. And it was. So it was. It still is.
Yeah, my first experience also was a friend got the first issue. So I remember, didn't realize it was the first issue at the time I saw it. I just thought how cool that cover was. His name was Chris, and strangely enough, the last time I ever saw him, he was working at a Borders in the same town where we grew up, and that was 7 years ago. But yeah, that Borders is gone now, and maybe he is too. Who knows? But I think my first, because I actually got a subscription.
Yeah.
After that, my first issue was 21 or 22, whichever one has the Metal Storm guy on the front.
I was subscribed before that. I got it, I think, because I had the Metal Storm issue, but I subscribed when they had what has got to be the greatest, most amazing promotion ever in the history of promotions.
Well, don't oversell it. I don't know what you're talking about now.
Subscription for Nintendo Power cost $15 for the year.
Okay, that's not a lot.
Which seemed like a lot of money when I didn't have any job or anything, but right now, I got $15. I think I'll go throw it in the street. Oh, I can get a magazine for $15.
Right.
Paraphrase Steve Martin. But the promotion, and I saw this on the TV at, like, I don't know, babysitter's house or something. And just went nuts. I only ever saw the commercial once. It really should have got more play than that. But subscribe to Nintendo Power. Get a free game.
Whoa.
Now, this is not some iPhone download game. I mean, this is... My iPhone beeps at just that moment. That's awesome. It knew I was talking about it. And it wasn't just any game either. It was Dragon Warrior.
All right. Wow.
Known as a Dragon Quest in Japan, and I guess the reason it wasn't Dragon Quest was because there was a board game called Dragon Quest at the time. It was like a Advanced Dungeons and Dragons Lite.
I never knew that. Okay.
Yeah, that's the reason, because I guess they couldn't get the licensing. But now, I don't know, that game's long gone, and TSR is long gone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's gone, man.
It's okay. Nintendo's still around. Sega's still around, for crying out loud. They've made a new console. Sort of. It's not the Dreamcast 2, but... We'll talk about that later, I guess.
Buy one. But anyway, it came with this game. And I remember being so... I thought I was the smartest guy in the whole world.
Yeah.
Because... After I got the subscription for $15 and this game came in the mail, which was awesome, I went down to, I think the store was called Prangy Way, which is a chain that doesn't exist anymore. Oh my gosh, this episode is absolutely ruining my nostalgia. But,
this is so sad.
Yeah, we went down to Prangy Way, which chain folded about 10 years ago. And but in the display case for games, there was Dragon Warrior, and it was $44.
Right.
But I got it, and a subscription to Nintendo Power for $15.
How did you swing that?
Because that was the promotion, you know?
Wow.
That was what it was doing. Now, many years later, I learned it's because they had a warehouse full of Dragon Warrior games they couldn't sell.
Ah.
Big in America for consoles, you know?
Right, yeah. The benefits of being able to have your own in-house magazine, right?
Exactly, because I mean, it was produced by Nintendo, you know, the magazine. Yeah. So they were sitting on tons of these cartridges that just wouldn't move, and I can see why. Very different type of game from anything else that was out there, and I mean, Dragon Quest was tearing up the charts, and well. You do know that the American version of Dragon Quest was changed quite a bit.
Oh, well, no, I never played the Dragon Quest. I played Dragon Warrior for sure. Actually, I remember because, you know, it was a new experience, and I just thought, wow, there's this sword that costs a lot of money. I'm going to buy that. And I was playing someone else's save, and they got so pissed at me. And they're like, yeah, that's actually worse than the one I had. And so now you need to grind through and get enough gold to buy the old sword I had.
And if you died in that game, you lost half of your gold.
Oh, God. So you can imagine how long it took me.
Anyway, the original Japanese version was really archaic compared to the, like, you've played Dragon Warrior, right?
Yes. I just told you a story about Dragon Warrior.
But like, I mean, you remember it pretty clearly in your mind?
I did beat it eventually when I was like 16 or something, but not really, no.
Like when you were in the plains, you saw that really nice little background with the plains when the monster came,
yeah.
You know, when it
yeah.
first. And in the mountains, you saw a little mountain. The original yeah. Japanese version is just black background.
Really?
Like Final Fantasy.
Really?
Yeah, they added that because they figured it wouldn't move in America if they didn't, you know, colorful it up, I guess.
Oh, it still didn't move.
Also, your character, your main character, your little walking guy, he didn't change direction depending on where you were going. He was just like a static sprite.
Wow.
So if you're going, he's still looking up. And if you're going to the side, he's still looking up, you know.
Wow, okay.
But they gave him four new cells, you know, for like the different directions when they released the American version.
That's crazy.
Also, the Japanese version didn't have battery backup.
No.
It was password save. And they were really long. And that whenever I talk to Japanese gamers about Dragon Quest, remember when we were talking to the people from the television network when we were being interviewed in Tokyo?
Yeah. For Zoom in Saturday? Yeah. And we got all of a minute. No, a second. A fraction of a second.
Wait. When we were talking to the Zoom in Saturday guy, he was mentioning that like he'd write down these long passwords and there'd be like one character
that's
wrong
right.
and he would be lost, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's one of those rare instances where it was a password save in Japan and not in the U.S. Because usually it's because it was like a Famicom Disk System game and then it gets ported over here and it's like Metroid, Castlevania. Are there any other games I can think of?
Superman?
Does Superman have a battery backup save?
I don't know. It didn't. I remember having a really long password, though. Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember exactly, but it was a Disk System game in Japan.
Yes, it was. I think I have it.
Actually let me take that back. Who Framed Roger Rabbit game was probably Who Framed Roger Rabbit game in America, which was actually Bugs Bunny's Crazy Castle.
Yes, that's the one you're thinking of. That's correct. Yep.
See, it's stuff like that. I know Bugs Bunny Crazy Castle, but I don't know fractions.
You do too.
I guess. I know that I'm only half as happy as I started out this morning.
Oh.
My childhood is closed or canceled or discontinued.
Well, okay, so Nintendo Power ending is sad. But
yeah.
I don't feel sad about it personally. Well, you know, like for people who worked there and loved their jobs, it's like obviously incredibly sad.
Yeah.
But like for me, I kept my Nintendo Power subscription long after I was enjoying it. And I guess sometime after that, it switched hands to some third party that was actually making it and not Nintendo in-house anymore. Actually, you know when I stopped liking Nintendo Power is when Howard Lincoln Howard, something like that. Howard from the Nestor
and Howard, yeah.
And Howard comic, yeah. He, when he left for greener pastures, that's when things started to change. And
he left Hal Laboratory, I think.
What's that?
I think he went to work for Hal Laboratory.
Did he?
I think so, because I remember seeing like some video about like him working on like Hal's Hole in One Golf for the Super Famicom.
Interesting. Yeah, there was just some like, you know, random farewell message in the back of one issue of Nintendo Power. That didn't really explain.
Last Howard and Nestor comic in the magazine, I think he rode off into the sunset.
Did he? Oh, I could look it up. I have it somewhere. I actually went digging through my archives because I had them for years, and then for a while I thought I was going to be able to just try and sell them because I was like, well, what am I going to use this for? But then I realized no one would want to buy them. Maybe that's changed now. But maybe. But I'm glad I had them because as I was digging through them preparing for some of the videos that we're working on, it was like remembering things, you know, especially like the whole run up to the Nintendo 64, how that was called the Ultra 64 in America, and like every issue of the magazine mentioned that until like E3 or Space World or something that Nintendo announced the N64 brand worldwide finally, and they had to like backpedal everything they ever said about it. But this is like they showed like lots of prototypes. They even went into like tech specs for the NES and like how it compared to the Super Nintendo when it came out. And they were really detailed about some of this stuff.
Oh, and yeah.
I didn't realize at the time, you know, because I was like 8 or 9 or whatever when that first came out. So I was just like, oh, that's nice. But now it's just this treasure trove of stuff that there was no internet back then, at least none that, you know, the random consumer could use. And this is how you got your information, was magazines and the like, yep. Newspapers and everything else. So I guess I can see in more recent years why this has become less and less of a thing, because you can get tips and tricks through videos like ours. You can get them through other websites. There's lots of websites, Game Facts being, you know, not the least of them. And who wants to pay for a magazine when you can get that stuff for free and get it sooner?
Yeah, I remember Tips and Tricks magazine, actually.
I didn't realize it was interesting.
I don't know if it doesn't exist anymore, but I can't imagine it's still around. Right. It was a great magazine, though, because it wasn't just Tips and Tricks. It was also game news. But sure. I mean, the main thing they did was show, like, I don't know, yeah, Tips and Tricks. But, like, there aren't Tips and Tricks in games anymore. Maybe Tips. But, you know, but, like, all of those things... you know, secret codes and stuff like that all turned into downloadable content. So, I mean, and the necessity for having a magazine when Game Facts was free, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you mentioned this like in an earlier episode, more relatively recent one. But yeah, you mentioned the DLC thing. So now instead of having to like make a really difficult game and set up like a tip line or a magazine that people pay you to get more money, from, because they're still playing the game and can't figure it out, now they can just make you buy new content or unlock things through the internet.
Yep.
So who needs magazines for a revenue stream when you can just charge people who buy used games for, you know, playing multiplayer or getting unlocking part of a story for an RPG or whatever else.
You know, at the time, I thought it was very strange about Nintendo Power. I don't know. Again, I haven't read Nintendo Power in years, but for the longest time, they had no ads in that magazine at all.
They had like promotional stuff for other Nintendo things, but they didn't have like any ads for anything else. Nope.
But what I realized now, actually knowing something about economics, was that the entire magazine was an ad.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Keep the fan base loyal, you know. And the reason they could charge such a really low subscriber... Oh, by the way, second greatest ever pack-in with a magazine is the other time I subscribed to Nintendo Power. And that was to get the Zelda Collector's Disc.
Was that the foreign one thing?
The one that had... Like, there were two. The first promotion was if you pre-ordered Wind Waker, you got the disc with Ocarina of Time and the Master Quest.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're able to buy that one later on because I do have a copy of that.
Nintendo Power promo that had those same games plus Zelda and Zelda 2.
Yes, yep, that's right. Yep.
And, yeah, so that's what brought me back. But I'll admit, I was in college. I didn't really read the magazines. Like, when I got a Nintendo Power magazine when I was in grade school, junior high school, I devoured it. I read everything. I read every letter to the editor, every little bit. One of my favorite articles ever was Nintendo Power almost never mentioned the competitors. Like, it was a total Nintendo universe, but one of them, they explained that blast processing wasn't real.
Nice.
And I used that as ammunition in my console war fights at the schoolyard.
Nice.
They're like, it has blast processing. I'm like, blast processing is just marketing speak.
And they're like, what's that?
You know, it's like, true, the processor on the Sega Genesis is faster, but blah, blah, blah. You know, I was just going on, but I remember they did a little cartoon, and they had like a number of things. They had like a little toy car and like an abacus and a microscope or something. I remember the well, and it said now blast processing.
Nice, right?
Or the letter to the editor where they showed a Game Boy that had been through the first Iraqi war, whatever. Mostly melted, so the buttons were unusable, but it still worked.
Wow. Yeah, is that what it was? I thought it was just in a house fire.
Maybe there was another one. I don't know. I think the one on display at Nintendo is house fire. I don't know, but and I remember that Steve Wozniak submitted scores to Nintendo Power.
Oh, gosh, yeah. So they mentioned this in the PowerCast. I listened to that recently, too. And like, he would like put in like anagrams of his name and stuff after the steps accepting his scores, because he loved Tetris, right? And it was just like his thing, and he would just creamed all the kids trying to submit their scores.
Hard to submit a score back then, though. I tried to submit a couple times to Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
But just getting a photo that worked. This was before digital cameras.
Right.
I would take photos of the screen with my high score, because that's what you had to do.
Right. And you had those like, flash cameras, right? So I bet you couldn't see parts of the screen after you took your photo.
Finally got one that was clear enough, and the score seems like it might. It probably wouldn't have made the magazine, actually, because I mean, there's no real time leaderboards,
right?
Like, by the time I actually got it to them, it probably would be long beat.
Yeah, but I finally,
the picture looked okay, and the score looked respectable, but like, it was way too late at that point for that game, you know.
Yeah, so just, imagine this, right? Like, yeah, now you can have a game that's, like, online capable, and it just gets sent right away with, like, your gamer tag or whatever identifying feature you have, and you get real-time feedback. And like, 25 years ago, you had to take a photo with a Polaroid or Instamatic or whatever, send it in, wait at least a month, probably longer, for what, however like far ahead they actually make the magazine and to get the score.
What I'd have to do is, since it was a roll of film, if I took
it's
a
even worse.
Pictures of other things to fill to get the rolls done, so right. I could send it to like, Walgreens.
Oh gosh,
still around.
That's terrible. Oh man, you and kids had it so easy.
You kids back in my day. Yeah, get the old man on that one. Sometimes.
No kidding,
but. It's just, but you know what? As cool as it is to have that real time going up on a leaderboard, come on, how much cooler is it to when the magazine comes out, you unwrap it, and you're like, that's me in a magazine.
Yeah.
A print, and you can show people. Like, okay, Famicom Dojo has been on the internet forever. You know what I mean?
No, it hasn't.
5 years. That's a long time.
Okay. In internet terms, I suppose.
Internet terms, that's ancient, but you know, and we've been linked from lots of important sites, you know, for gaming, you know, I wrote was linked on Penny Arcade, you know, and we've been, you know, all this stuff online, but the like the day I felt like, oh my gosh, we made it, was when we appeared in Retro Gamer.
Oh, we didn't just appear in Retro Gamer, they interviewed us specifically. Us and some other fan sites about the Famicom Disk System, why we thought it was good and why we thought it failed. Mostly why we thought it failed. But we really tried to defend it, didn't we?
I love Retro Gamer. It is my favorite magazine. I have every issue, actually. I only have a few of them actually in print, but they release these DVDs like at the end of like a calendar year that has like, or maybe 2 years, I don't know, that has a giant like 25 issues in a digital format, and I right. Those onto my iPad.
Yeah, I guess that's how you survive in the modern era, right? I don't know if like Nintendo just didn't feel like it was worth their while to go digital. Like from what I've heard, like they resisted attempts to go fully digital. Like I don't know the full story if that's even true, but that's just what I heard. And I guess it just wasn't worth their while.
It's hard to say. I mean, is it? It's panning out right now. They're trying to figure out if it's worth anybody's while. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who are really making a road into digital, like Wired magazine and stuff like that, they're keeping their print one right now, you know?
Yeah.
Putting all, and a few of them that have put all their eggs into one basket, so far it hasn't really panned out so well.
Right, right.
What was it? Electronic Gaming Monthly tried to go digital. I mean, they were pretty much dead already, so.
Right.
You know, things like that. I hear they were kind of recently kind of resurrected, but I don't know. I'd have to do some research on that. I mostly don't get my news from magazines anymore, and that's the big problem. Yeah. I think.
Well,
that's why I like Retro Gamer, because you don't have to worry if the news, because a magazine comes out once a month. You know what I mean? But gaming, yeah. moves at the speed of light.
Yeah. After, yeah.
The game could have been greenlit, worked on, interviewed about, and canceled, you know, all in the course of that month.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, especially when you can get behind the scenes news from other sources, why would you wait for a magazine to tell you about it?
Retro Gamer is awesome because, I mean, it says right on the cover, it says old.
You know? Right, right. So
it's the only new information you get in that magazine is like from interviews where people reveal things about the making of process that happened a long, long mm-hmm. time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great magazine. I wish that it was easier to get in America. I don't know if it's bookstores sell. It's British magazine.
Yeah, the issue that we were in, I was able to go to Borders or Barnes & Noble, I forget which, and buy it. It was like $10. I forget what the actual price was in pounds.
It's like £5.
Yeah. So it was inflated both for the exchange rate and for the cost of getting it there, I imagine.
The cost of getting a 1-year subscription sent to Japan is like over $100.
Oh,
so.
My gosh. Yeah. So it's like why would you go with the physical medium when, you know, the distribution chain of digital is, I'm sure, a lot less expensive. They don't have to like have warehouses. You don't have to like printing costs. You don't have to wait for it to get printed enough copies to meet your demand. You don't like have wasted copies you can't sell, because making digital copies is super easy and cheap, and you don't have to ship it anywhere, so it doesn't take time that way or money.
I guess it's the same reason I buy paper books. You know, there's just something. Yeah, there's my well thought out argument. There's just something about it.
Oh, dear.
I better get used to it, because if I, you know, everything's, I mean, I can see the smoke. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll hold on for as long as I can. And, oh, man, that was a great interview with Retro Gamer. Great, great people. Really good article. But the question, the questions were like, why do you think the Famicom disk system failed? You know, you know, and I'm like, whatever. Like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think it did okay. You know, it sold over 2 million. You know,
yeah.
If we're going on that as a stick for failure, I mean, Sony better look at those Vita numbers again.
Ooh,
Sony would die for sales, for Vita sales to go up to the Famicom disk system.
That's right.
I mean, for the hardware, Vita will get there, but for games, the attach rate to the disk system was huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the big problem was the piracy more than, you know, the people who actually bought it.
Exactly.
But that's for another story, which we will be telling eventually.
Stories. Turn your head.
It's worth mentioning that Damian McFerrin was the one who conducted the interview with us for Retro Gamer, and it's also on his Nintendo Life website. Well, I say it's his. He's just, I'm sure, a bigwig and heavily involved. But there's more to Nintendo Life than just him.
Yeah. If you're listening to this, thank you. That was totally awesome. We we really liked being interviewed for that, and if you need us for anything else, we are totally available. And I would like to hear other people's memories, and I would like to hear someone who started not from the beginning, but who started like in the middle. My Nintendo Power subscription ran out, I think, in 96, and I didn't renew until they had the Zelda promotion in, I think, 2002. But, yeah, like, there's a lot of years of Nintendo Power I missed. And maybe I'm being nostalgic about something that didn't retain its quality. Because I guess I don't really want new Nintendo Power so much as I want the Nintendo Power I grew up with to still be around.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense? Yeah, I totally agree. Because, you know, my subscription lasted until, like, the first year or two of the N64. And I was pretty much done. You know, just I didn't like to look at the magazine anymore. I really, the parts I liked about it were, like, you know, the upcoming titles. I was really into, like, the NES games and the Game Boy games that were coming out at the time. And just something, maybe I was getting older, I don't know, something about the newer games coming out just appealed to me less and less, or their presentation, or just whatever. I can't really say what it was, but it just lost that magical quality, and I just sort of kept getting it out of habit.
You were retro before retro was a thing.
Exactly. I was the hipsterest retro guy there was.
But I mean, other people, but maybe it's just that we were getting older, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I would like to hear from someone who maybe subscribed to Nintendo Power from the N64 time. Like, start, I mean, there's probably some really good memories there. I'm looking for other people's stories. So if you subscribe to Nintendo Power, or what's the one in the UK that just folded too? Like the
Yeah, people were saying that on our Facebook page. I forget the name of it.
Is it official
on Twitter too?
I think that one's still.
Yeah,
sorry.
One of them got rebranded.
I don't live in either country right now, so. But there was, but like, tell us about that.
Yeah.
Or. If you're from a country that still has an active, like, has active video game magazines, and some do. I know, remember, we met when we were at Tokyo Game Show, we met a whole bunch of people from other countries who were doing video game print magazines. And some of them didn't even have websites.
Weird.
I know, it's crazy, but like in Japan, print media still does pretty well. Like Famitsu is still a weekly magazine, you know.
Yep.
And when you go to convenience store, there's thousands of magazines that are still going on, you
know.
Japan's, and new magazines will come.
You know, Japan's just different.
I know, Japan's an anomaly in so many ways. But anyway, share your thoughts with us. We'd like to hear. Are you sad that Nintendo Power is going away, or was it a long time coming and rightly deserved?
So before we go, I just wanted to give a big thank you to everyone out there who has been watching the stuff we've been putting out. We haven't done a new episode of the podcast in a couple of weeks now. And it's just because we're working so hard at these videos. And so, yeah, especially everyone who's like watched the GameCube Menu Secrets one, thank you. We know the information's old, but it's like our most popular video since the 3D special 2 years ago, to be perfectly honest. What else did we do? The GameCube, sorry, the Famicom controllers that came out. Yep. And then we just did the Sega Mega one, which you keep remarking is surprisingly popular.
Usually the ones that we put out, like, I don't know, for example, the App Blaster. I guess App Blaster is not so neat. But like that episode, you know, had clips from Tokyo, and it had editing, and it had, you know, but like the Mega one was like something I filmed off my iPhone camera, like no planning whatsoever. And, you know, I thought we'd use it as a filler somewhere. Like, I didn't even think it would go in our main feed. You know, I was just playing around with seeing what I could do for editing, just to try to bring out a quick video. It was more of a, like, a proof of concept than it was meant to be an act.
But
it's right now, it's entirely positive comments, so mm-hmm. It makes me wonder if we're going about this wrong.
Right, exactly. Because the one we're working on that's going to come up in 2 weeks after you hear this podcast is long, a little complicated, lots of editing, but I think it's going to be the definitive, as you keep telling me, that like the definitive video on the subject. Yeah. Do, what could it be? Also, we had this a cameo by Juario. Hint, hint.
By Juario.
Oh, man. It was so great. He just sent it to us this week, and I laughed. I cried. I almost squirted milk out through my nose. I didn't even have any milk. It just... Anyway.
And last week we did something kind of unique. Well, I did something kind of unique. Yes. This Famicom Life episode.
Yeah, and people gave you very positive comments for that, even though I know you were super worried about Act 2 being too much of a downer or something. I wasn't really sure.
And one of the comments hit the nail on the head. It's like, happy, happy, happy. Gross. I felt like an episode of MASH.
Yeah, yeah. One guy wondered if that's how most American Life episodes were, and I was like, yeah, pretty much. It's like you laugh, and then you feel guilty for ever having laughed at anything. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, it is. And but the thing is, I mean, I recorded those things a lot earlier, and I listened to it, and I was a bit surprised by it too, like how I don't know. I don't usually go into. I don't usually open that door, you know. So, yeah. But I mean, it was recorded only a couple of years after it happened. If you haven't heard the podcast, it's pretty short. Yeah. Take a listen.
It's just the previous episode to this one, so.
Yep. But you know what? I liked the feedback we got, but I think in my mind, I'm listening to it and I'm like, oh, that's a lot of vink. We need less vink.
Ah, whatever.
That's why I put in the Amari tones to break up all the vink. but like, because This American Life is not just Ira Glass talking, you know?
right, exactly.
Stuff. And one of the comments I got was I'd like to hear what Sean has to say about something, and I'm like, yeah. So I was thinking about it, and I'd really like to do another episode of This Famicom Life, but not just me. Like you can make something, and what I'd really like is if we could get a couple guest contributors, maybe some people who've worked with us on the Famicom Dojo videos, but more importantly, some of our listeners.
Yeah,
I'd like to just hear some little short stories that we can put together and just kind of get this Famicom life, you know.
Yeah, this video gaming life. This doesn't have to be Famicom. Obviously, this episode wasn't about Famicoms. So.
No, it wasn't. It was Pachinko and stuff like that. But
fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
I don't have this like backlog of like recorded stuff that I did for Four Color Rebellion. True. So.
True. Although, actually, if I do another episode, I want to write new material.
It'll be all new material. I definitely want to contribute. I'm sure Phil Bond is something he might want to say, plus anyone else who's been on the show before, plus other people who may not have been on the show.
So what I'm thinking is we can do like an episode of that maybe like every 3 months, so like maybe four a year or maybe two a year. I don't know. I've already got some good ideas for if we did one for Valentine's Day, for example.
We could get was it Mitch who had his art stolen for that one T-shirt?
Gosh, that's great! Don't give it away.
Ah,
don't
shooting it away. Right.
yeah, we could definitely put something like that together. So, that's another thing. Leave feedback in either this one or the previous podcasts. Thread if you have a idea for a cool theme that we could use because Famicom always used This American Life. See, I'm blurring the lines.
Oh no,
American Life always had a theme, and they'd work on that. So if you can think of a good theme for that, we'd love to hear it. That's all I got for this week.
Yeah. So just keep track of us here on the podcast feed, free on iTunes. If you're listening to us on the website, famicom.tv, where you'll constantly leave your comments on our show notes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Famicom Dojo, and Facebook, Famicom Dojo, to watch our still weekly videos. 7 weeks we've been doing this, and we have a few more left. Plus any special announcements we may have coming up, let's say, next week. Does that sound reasonable?
I mean, we made it through the summer now. What, fall?
Well, summer's officially over in September 21st. Yeah, we'll be carrying through.
We'll get through the summer. Yes. New, but after that, there's gonna be a little new baby in my house, so we might have to do a South Park / Doctor Who mid season break. So.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But everyone, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And we will see you next week, one way or the other.
So until next time, the dojo is
still printing. Hot off the presses.
Editing film for the next episode.
Yes.
Famicom Dojo.
Maybe it's because I made loud noise.
Yeah, it could be hitting like a limiter or something.
Okay, I'll back up a bit. Okay.